96.
Broadcasting 24/7.
You know that is
24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 366 if it's a leap year.
Local 804
Radio. We never stop.
I'm Fred Zuckerman, and right now you're listening to 804radio.com.
Power.
Of the business, the What the Heck Show on local804radio.com.
Welcome, Teamsters. This is Rank and File Radio. My name is Lawrence Cruz from Local 396, and I'll be your host today, along with Frank Halstead from Local 572. And we're coming back at you again straight from the West Coast. We're going to be having a shorter show today due to schedule conflicts, but I guarantee you it's going to be a great show, and we're going to have a lot of information for you guys. And we got Frank on the line. Are you there, Frank?
Absolutely. I'm here, Lawrence. Good morning, everybody. Noon, depending where you're at.
How's it going, man? I heard you had that new granddaughter. Congratulations.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much, Lawrence. Thank you.
So, like I said, we're going to have a short show today, so we're going to get right into it. And we wanted to find out right off the bat what's going on with that guy, Willie Smith.
Well, like you said, Lawrence, we're going to have a real short show, but we have some important information that we think is going to be very interesting and important that the membership know about. So we wanted to take this opportunity to touch on three basic issues that have come across recently so we can inform people about what's going on in our union. And the first one is Willie Smith. On June 23rd, the IRO, the Honorable Barbara S. Jones, the judge, issued a letter telling the International, HAFA, that their little whitewash attempt to try to find Willie Smith innocent was not adequate, and sent them back to go review what they did and do it over again. Now, in the IRB IDO language, they only say that something is either not inadequate or it's inadequate.
Right.
So that's their way of saying that either something is acceptable or not acceptable, or it's okay or it's not okay. And in this case, they said it was inadequate, which is their way of saying it's not okay, it's not acceptable. You got to go back and do your job again because you failed at doing your job the first time. So
right.
They found a little whitewash trial hearing that HAFA and his administration held for Willie Smith found him innocent of any wrongdoing, which we all know that's not true. He's guilty as can be. He accepted those six Super Bowl party tickets in New Orleans. He knew they had value, and he knew they came from an employer, and that's a clear violation of our international constitution and a clear violation of federal labor law. So, fortunately, the IRO, the Honorable Barbara S. Jones, saw through their little facade and sent them back to redo the hearing and reissue another discipline or another result from their investigation, which is great. And it's not a good thing for Roma Lois, I'll tell you that, because this tells you that if Willie Smith's not going to get off the hook, if the independent review officer isn't going to allow Willie Smith to go free for his illegal activity, then Roma Lois, who was the one who procured the bunch of other illegal activities that he was involved in. There's no way he's going to go free.
Okay, so you're saying it's all tied in together. Both of their cases are tied in together.
I'm saying they're related.
Okay.
Willie Smith got the tickets from Roma Loyce. So Roma Loyce is the bigger criminal in this whole action and in these activities. And if Willie Smith, the smaller criminal, isn't going to get away with it, there's no way Roma Loyce, the bigger criminal.
So why do you think it's taking so long to make a decision on Roma Loyce?
That's a good question. I don't have any.
Because they're just leading this on like, man, I'm waiting. You know, I want to hear this thing. I want to see the end of it. And it's like they're just dragging their feet on it like everything else.
Yeah. You know, he has top dollar attorneys doing everything they can to delay. I mean, his original charge was in February of 2016. It's
Wow.
July of 2017, which means that somebody who made the salary that he's made because of his legal experts working on his behalf to delay this thing, he's gotten, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in checks paid by the members' dues for this time that he's been able to delay this thing. So that's what this is all about. He's trying to delay it as long as he can so he can collect as many checks as possible before he gets booted out of the Teamsters. But it's coming. It's coming. And like I said, this June 23rd letter from the IRO is a good sign. It's a good sign for us that justice is moving forward as slow as it is.
Uh-huh.
It's moving forward and it's moving in the right direction.
So for the listeners, what kind of bunk defense did Willie Smith use to tell the judge that, you know, that he wasn't responsible for the Playboy tickets?
Well, he tried to pretend like he didn't know they had any value, which he knew they had value. He tried to pretend like he didn't know they came from an employer, which they had emails of him asking Roma Loyce, did he get the ticket from the actual employer? So everything that he tried to say was just completely unbelievable and just completely, you know, ludicrous. He also tried to say that there was no food at this party and that this party was horrible, as if that had anything to do with anything, which was another lie. You know, it's like saying I went to a football game, but I didn't see any football players. All I did was watch cheerleaders all day. You know, there was food there. There was alcohol there. It's a very top dollar, high end party. There's celebrities. There's athletes. I mean, you name it. It's put on by Playboy. It was in New Orleans when they had the Super Bowl in New Orleans. So for him to say that he didn't have a good time, I seriously doubt the truthfulness of any of the statements he made. And I believe that the independent review officer doubts them also.
So what kind of punishment do you think this guy is looking at?
I think he's looking at being barred from the union forever. There have been other officers and other officials from the Teamsters that have gotten caught taking things of value from employers, and they were barred forever. So
okay, that sounds real good. That sounds real good. Well, let's hope that Roma Loyce goes down with them. I mean, you know, after Ken Hall got out of his thing, you know, I'm just like, man, I'm not too hopeful, but, you know, I trust you, man. I think something's going to happen with this guy. Everything's pointing to him getting in trouble, so we'll see.
Yes, we will. So the way that the system works is this letter was dated June 23rd, and they give the IDG 20 days to respond in writing as to what their next course of action is going to be, whether they're going to retry him, whether they're not going to retry him, whether they're just going to issue a different discipline. Whatever course of action they're going to take, they have 20 days to respond in writing to the independent review officer. So that puts it at about July 13th. So we should hear something one way or the other around July 13th. Now, another one of the stalling tactics that the Hoffa administration will utilize is the IRO will give them two bites of the apple. They'll say, here, you failed the first time, not adequate. Then the IBT will come back a second time with something that's not adequate. And then at that point, the IRO will take it over. And then they'll just determine what sort of penalty they feel is appropriate. But this whole process delays. So I'm thinking that around the 13th of July, the IBT will send another bogus decision or letter to the IRO saying that they're going to hold another hearing or anything to try to delay this longer. And then eventually the IRO will find their second course of action inadequate, and then the IRO will take over and ultimately issue their own decision as to what they feel an appropriate penalty is for Willie Smith's actions. So this thing will drag on a little bit longer, but it's getting closer and closer to the end.
Man, we got to get some of these guys, man. Golly, this thing takes forever. What was that thing you said a long time ago? The wheels of justice turn real slow? Man, they turn real slow. So anything, you got anything else to say about the Willie Smith so we can move on to the next subject?
No, just that we should be hearing something sometime around July 13th, sometime next week. We should get another update as to what's gonna happen.
Okay, that's some good information for the members, and hopefully we can get this guy, man, for taking stuff from, you know, from the members. So here we go with we got some other information that you got, and that's on the NLRB decision at Local 251. What's going on there?
On June 30th, the NLRB issued a decision which is dismissing the complaint against Local 251 members Paul Santos and Brooke Reeves. What happened was during their local union election, or during their delegate election, they had a political opponent use her employer's print shop to print up all of their flyers and all of their materials, which is a clear violation of the law. It's a clear violation of the election rules. It's completely and totally illegal. Well, Brooke Reeves, who also works for the same employer, you know, got wind of what this person was doing.
Yeah.
This person was using the employer's print shop to print all their materials.
Wow.
So she started investigating. And during the course of the investigation, of course, she started uncovering more information and more evidence proving that this other person was violating the law and violating the election rules. And this other person tried to justify and cover up her illegal activities by lying. And when the employer inquired about, you know, whether they were using the print shop, of course she denied it. She lied, and she further spun a web of lies and told a bunch of different excuses to try to explain her illegal activity to her employer. Well, through the course of an investigation, the employer realized that this person had lied and had done some pretty serious violations, because one of the excuses that she used during the course of the investigation that the employer was conducting, trying to see whether the print shop was being used illegally or not, was she said that, oh, she never got flyers for the campaign. She got prescription paper. Well, when they started to try to find out who had requested the prescription paper, no one came forward and said that they requested the prescription paper.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find the prescription paper. And prescription paper is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people write prescriptions on prescription paper. Those can be misused and mishandled. So, of course, the hospital was very sensitive to the fact that boxes of prescription paper, according to this person, came up missing and nobody knew where they were at. But this person dug their own grave by lying from the beginning and trying to make up stories and using this whole prescription paper story as an excuse to try to cover up and hide what they were really doing, which was using the print shop to print union materials in a union election, which is once again illegal and a violation of law. So she goes and she files a complaint against Brooke and Paul Santos, saying that they ratted her out and got her in trouble. And then being the union representatives, that's a violation of their duty of fair representation. So, of course, similar to Local 804, they hold a local union kangaroo court, and or they go to the joint council, which is headed by Sean O'Brien.
Oh, God.
And they rule against Local 251 because they're obviously political opponents, because they obviously politically don't like them, and they're not going to do what's fair and what's right and what's just and what's in the members' best interest. They're going to do what's in their political best interest. So they rule against Local 251, and they rule that Paul and Brooke violated the law or violated the rules. So this vindication by the NLRB is tremendous, because it shows how fake and how crooked these union officials are, like Sean O'Brien and like the joint council that ruled against Local 251 in the first place. They put politics before the best interest of the membership. They do what they can to do whatever they can to try to punish their political opponents rather than doing the right thing and following the law. But as soon as we get in front of a fair and impartial judge, like they did at this NLRB hearing, we prevail. And this is the same thing that's happening in Local 804 with Tim Sylvester being brought up on those sham charges that have no basis whatsoever. And of course, the local union, which is politically in opposition to the Sylvester slate, to the Sylvester administration, ruled against them. And so will the Joint Council, because they're all going to play politics. But as soon as it gets in front of a fair and impartial judge, it'll be turned over. And just like Local 251 and Paul Santos and Brooke Reeves were vindicated and proven to be innocent of any wrongdoing, Tim Sylvester and the Tim Sylvester administration will also be found innocent and proven not guilty of any wrongdoing.
You know, Frank, I hear you, but what kind of punishment do they get for doing all this?
They don't get any punishment.
That's what I'm saying. So they get to do all these fake courts, these kangaroo courts, and drag you through the mud, and then all they do is just get a slap on the wrist? What's the point?
They don't even get a slap on the wrist. All we get is justice in the long term, because we're found innocent of any wrongdoing, and we're found that we didn't commit any of the wrongdoings that we've been accused of. But hopefully what they get eventually is the members waking up and voting them out of office. Hopefully what we get eventually is the members realizing that these people are not fighting for the members' best interest. They are not good officials. They are not good leaders. They're despicable, grotesque, you know, self-serving people who call them in leadership positions, but they're not leaders, and that they need to go. So hopefully enough of these decisions come down and enough members find out about them and start saying, hey, why are you guys doing these things? Why are you guys putting your own personal political self-interest ahead of what's in the membership's best interest? And it's got to stop, and it's going to stop because we're going to vote you out, and we're going to make sure that you can't do this anymore. That's the ultimate.
Yeah, but some of these things that they do can ruin people's lives, and then that's all they get is, we're sorry we did it. I mean, there got to be a way to change these rules to where they get some kind of punishment. Because if you just go to the NLRB and all they say is, okay, you're found, you're vindicated. Wowee, but my name was dragged through the mud. Who knows what's going to happen, if how people are going to perceive me after that? I mean, where does it end? You know, what can we do? There's got to be something else we can do. Is there, you know, some kind of, you know, can we lobby for some kind of new law, or, you know, go protest? I mean, what can you do? It's just disgusting.
You got to organize, you got to get members involved, you got to get good information to members so they make good decisions, and you got to vote these guys out of office. There is no simple solution. We got to do what we did with the Teamsters United, Fred Zuckerman slate. We got to win the election completely, not just in the United States, not just by 70% in UPS locals, but we got to win outright so we can get these guys out of office and we can get good, honest, hardworking leaders that are going to fight for the members' best interests and not their own self-serving.
So now that you're talking about that, you know, about the election that just happened, is there any information on the rerun? You know anything on that?
Well, actually, yeah, there's something extremely interesting recently happened. Last July 20th, 2016, there was a conversation between the International's lawyers, via Dan Bradley Raymond and a few others, and the IIO, the Independent Investigations Officer.
Uh-huh.
And what transpired was a surreptitiously recorded conversation of this discussion between the Independent Investigations Officer, Joseph DeGenova, and these IBT attorneys.
Uh-huh.
DeGenova didn't know that they were tape recording this conversation.
Yeah, I think I read about that.
Meeting, uh-huh. Of this meeting on July 20th. But the International tape recorded it, and then subsequently they produced a transcript of it. And recently, a redacted version of this July 20th conversation became public.
Oh.
A redacted version of this conversation, of this meeting that took place on July 20th, 2016, and it is damning to the international's position that they were not trying to use members' money and the international's influence to influence this last election, because it says what we've been saying all along, that all that they've been trying to do is to try to prevent information from coming out, trying to delay information from coming out so the members wouldn't have this information during the election cycle, so it wouldn't have any impact on the election. This transcript that the IBT made themselves and that has now become public information proves our case that they used union money to hire top-notch attorneys to try to prevent members from getting information about corruption investigations and about all sorts of illegal activities that are currently going on by this current administration in the international, so that it wouldn't come out in time for members to have this information for the last election. So this is a bombshell, we feel, because it proves what we've been saying all along, that the international had no institutional interest and they had no justification to spend all the money that they spent on the high-dollar attorneys, because all they were trying to do was influence the outcome of the election, and that's a violation of the election rules, and that's illegal. And for that reason, if no other reason, we deserve a rerun, and the election supervisor should rule in our favor. So we're excited. We're happy about
this. Man, I'm excited, man. Just the hope that we can get one. I'm excited. That we got a chance, you know?
Absolutely. We're happy about this redacted version of this transcript being made public, but we'd like to see the unredacted version, because we know that they covered up a lot of stuff that is damning to them and would be extremely interesting to us. So we're trying to fight to see if we can get the unredacted version released to the public. But even the redacted version proves what we have asserted from the beginning, that they used our dues money to try to influence the election and try to prevent members from having all the information so they can make an informed decision before the last election.
And that's exactly what they did, because you could talk. I could go in the yard, you know, because I'm a shop steward, and I talk to people, and I asked them that question. I said, if you knew these guys were doing these things before you voted, would you have? These are, you know, officers and Hoffa people, and they said, no, we wouldn't have voted for them. If we knew they were doing these things, or if they were found guilty, we would have been like, nah, we ain't gonna even go there, you know. But the information wasn't out there; we didn't have a chance. So, you know, that's the whole point, right?
Absolutely. That is absolutely the whole point. You hit the nail on the head. And that's what we're fighting for, to get that information out there and to get the members to have another chance to vote, having known what the international engaged in and how they tried to use, or how they did use, members' dues money to help and aid the Hoffa Hall campaign.
And how much money did you guys say that was? The last time, I think it was $700,000 or something like that, or more.
Yeah, that's
a low ball, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's just what we know based on the LM2 report for last year, and that stopped in December. So we know they've spent plenty more money after that, and they're still spending money today on it, because they're having all these hearings and they're having this appeal that they have to decide, that they have to respond to, and they're filing briefs and they're filing arguments to try to keep these documents from being made public. I mean, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes in the courts that 99% of the members aren't aware of.
Wow.
So they're still spending tons of money to try to steal this election from the membership.
Well, hey, as long as we got a chance, man, that's all I care about, because we fought so hard to, you know, to win this election, and we got cheated. I felt like we got cheated, you know? So,
absolutely.
You know, I talk to members to this day, like I said, you know, they feel like they've been cheated, and they're just like, well, you know, why couldn't we get this information? We tried to give them what we could, but it wasn't the whole story. You know what I mean? So they couldn't really make a good decision on it. If you're telling somebody, well, they might have did it, that's not the same as they did it. You know, that'll change somebody's mind real fast when they find that out. So, I mean, all you can do is just wait to see what happens with this rerun. I mean, I have it in the back of my mind But I know how many letdowns that we've had in the past. So I'm just going to keep it back there and just keep moving on. I think that's what everybody else should do. Just let's get, you know, start working on this contract campaign with Teamsters United so we can get the information out so they can't do the same thing they did to us on the last contract. And then, hey, you never know when it'll pop up and they say, hey, we got a rerun. And we'll just hit that the ground running.
Absolutely. We can't put all our eggs in one basket. Yeah. We can't just hope for a rerun and nothing else because it may not happen. And if it doesn't happen, you know, we still end up waking up in the morning and going to work and having to face the same kind of conditions that we face today. So we have to organize. We have to organize around trying to get the building the most pressure and power possible so we can get the best UPS contract possible. We have to mobilize and organize and trying to hold our officials accountable for their action and continue to fight against corruption. And like you said, if we get a rerun, we'll be in a better position to just hit the floor running and ultimately win this election outright like
and,
we deserve.
And how do you feel about Sean O'Brien trying to go out there right now and, you know, go sell to the members the Let's Be United thing? You think that's some smoke and mirrors or he's really out there trying to do, you know, do what he's supposed to be doing? And he should have did that on the last contract. I mean,
like I said before, you could tell someone's, the best way to tell someone's future behavior is their past behavior. And he's been a complete, total failure in the past. I have no hope whatsoever that he's going to deliver on anything that he says in the future. He's just going to be a salesman. He's just going to do the best he can.
Yeah.
Try to placate the members, but ultimately, he's not working for the members' best interest. He's in the back pocket of UPS. And the members need to understand that. They need to organize. They need to not let themselves get sold out by him again, because they've already been sold out by him before. And like the old saying says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me for letting it happen when I knew you were not trustworthy in the first place. So with that, I got to let you go. Once again, we apologize for this being a real short version, but we wanted to give you some updates on some real important items going on in our union. We hope everybody finds the information interesting and informative and useful. Hope everybody enjoys their Saturday and enjoys their weekend. Want to thank Lawrence for putting this together on a short notice, on a moment's notice, and giving everybody this quick update. And this is Frank Halstead from sunny Southern California, telling everybody goodbye. And have a wonderful day.
All right, Frank, I'll see you, man. I'll be looking forward to our next show. So I'll be waiting for it, man. Peace out, everybody. We'll be back in a few weeks with some more information for the members.
Coming from is this union is about the membership, the forgotten people, good contracts, decent pensions, having union officers go into the office there and represent the members.
Local 804 Radio Power. My sex. Broadcasting 24/7.
You know that is
24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 366 if it's a leap year.
Local 804 Radio.
We never stop.